That's great. There's more people over here. Oh, has anybody seen my horseradish? I can't find it. Do you guys know where it is? Oh. Actually, I know who has it. And if I want it back, I'll have to pay for it. Big bucks. But I don't want it. If I bought it back, I would do what's called redeeming it. But in order to be a redeemer, to buy something back, so I've got it back in our family, that precious horseradish, I would have to want to do it, to redeem it, and I would have to have the funds in order to buy it back. Funds that wouldn't break us, although that rummage sale today may have done that yesterday. That's redemption, is buying something back. And for one in the day of Ruth to be a redeemer, they needed, one, to be part of the family. Two, they needed to have the riches to buy back the land that was up for sale. And thirdly, they needed to have resolve to really want to buy that land back. And this morning what we're going to do is walk back through the story of Ruth, because it is a story that is written to be read all in one sitting. In fact, it was originally written just to be a story to be told with all the different characters and drama and anticipation and mystery and being on the edge of your seat and romance, full of romance. It's a story to be told. It's interesting that Benjamin Franklin, when he was the United States ambassador to France, occasionally attended what was called the Infidels Club. They were a bunch of heathens. A group that spent most of its time searching for and reading literary masterpieces. On one occasion, Franklin read to the Infidels Club the Book of Ruth in its entirety. But he changed the names of the characters in the story so they would not recognize that it's from the Bible. When he finished, the club was unanimous in their praise. They said it was one of the most beautiful short stories that they have ever heard, and demanded that he tell them where he had run across such a remarkable literary masterpiece. And then, to his delight, he told them, this story is from the Bible. This is the story we want to look at today, the Book of Ruth. Today, this book is read once a year among Orthodox Jews. I mentioned last week it was on the Feast of Tabernacles, but actually every year on the Feast of Pentecost, the day the church started, but the Feast of Pentecost of the Jews, every year they read through, as we're going to today, the Book of Ruth. You know, storytelling is something that's kind of been, is a lost art. Let me get comfortable here for a moment. There we go. Storytelling is something that we don't see a whole lot of because of all of our visuals and short attention spans. But in most countries of the world today, in developing nations, that's how information is passed. People sitting around a campfire at night and people telling stories of the people's history. And so what I encourage us to do today as we read through this story is to, in our minds, think of Ruth clinging to Naomi. Picture that in your minds. And then picture Ruth out in the fields gleaning the leftover bits of harvest. And then picture Ruth in the middle of the night inviting Boaz to redeem her family and marry her. And then, you know, picture that last scene where Ruth has just had this precious little baby, Obed, and she turns it over to Naomi. And the women cry, "This is Naomi's child." Think of the devotion of Ruth throughout this book, focused on helping her in-laws to keep their land and to keep their name, Elimelech's name, in place, and all that is done to bring that about. Finally, as we go through the story today, keep in mind we have a God who cares about the details, a God whose fingerprints are all through this book, that He is indeed orchestrating the events that will lead to the birth of Obed, who in turn becomes the grandfather of David, who is an ancestor of Jesus Christ. Oh, God is a wonder-working God. And we're going to see how God lovingly used Ruth and Boaz to redeem Naomi's line. So, got your Bibles? We're going to read through together the book of Ruth. And I'll have some fun here with the different characters and all. And I'm going to give myself a little more light, which reminds me that in a couple weeks, we will start a study in the book of Genesis, and let there be light. And next week, we'll focus on Memorial Day. Let's just stand for a moment and have one more word of prayer. We do a lot of good praying in this church, so feel free to stand, and let's just pray again. Father, just thank you. Help me today. You know my physical situation. And God, you know everyone here. You know where our hearts are. You know what we need today. And God, you've given us your word that is powerful. And so help us, God, to grasp the power of this wondrous story that, as you know, pictures your love for your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And let's be seated. Now, it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraimites of Bethlehem in Judah. Now they entered the land of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They took for themselves Moabite women as wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the land of Moab. For she had heard that in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she departed from the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as he you have dealt with me and the dead and help you. May the Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said, "No, but we will surely return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters. Go, for I'm too old to have a husband." If I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were full grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? Oh, no, my daughters. For it's harder for me than for you. The hand of the Lord has gone against me. And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And then she said, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So they both went until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, with her Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the time of the barley harvest. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the property portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came out from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said, "May the Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" The servant in charge of the reapers replied, "Oh, she's the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Thus she came and has remained for the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you're thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." And then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should notice me, since I'm a foreigner?" And Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work, and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." Then she said to him, "I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I'm not like one of your maidservants. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not insult her. Also you shall purposefully pull out for her some grain from the bundles, and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. And her mother-in-law then said to her, where did you glean today? And who took notice of you? Where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked today, oh, the name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, oh, may he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead. Again, Naomi said to her, the man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives. Then Naomi the Moabitess said, well, furthermore, he said to me, you should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids, so that another does not fall upon you in another field. So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Now, is not Boaz our kinsman with whose maids you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself, therefore. Anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. It shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do. She said to her, all that you say, I will do. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the heap of grain, and she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. And it happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, who are you? She answered, I'm Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative. Then he said, may you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether rich or poor. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask. For all the people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence. Now, it is true, I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Now, remain this night. When morning comes, if he will redeem you, good. Let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning and rose before one could recognize another. And he said, let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Again he said, give me the cloak that is on you and hold it. So she held it, and he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how did it go, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done for her. She said, these 6 measures of barley he gave me, for he said, do not go to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Then she said, wait, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he has settled it today. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, a close relative of whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he said, turn aside, friend, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. Then he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. Then he said to the closest relative, Naomi, who has come back from the land of Moab, has to sell the price of land which belonged to our father Elimelech. So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it, therefore, before those who are sitting here, before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if not, tell me, that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I after you. And he said, I'll redeem it. Then Boaz said, on the day that you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance. The closest relative said, I cannot redeem it myself, because I would jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself. You may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning the redemption and the exchange of land to confirm any matter. A man removed his sandal and gave it to another. And this was the matter of attestation in Israel. So the closest relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz said to all the people, you are witnesses today that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Moreover, I have acquired the Moabitess Ruth, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased will not be cut off from his brothers or from the court of his birthplace. You are witnesses today. All the people were in the court, and the elders said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel. May you achieve wealth in Ephratah and become famous in Bethlehem. Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez, which Tamar bore to Judah, through the offspring which the Lord will give you by this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today. And may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, is better to you than 7 sons, has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap, and became his nurse. The neighbor woman gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. To Perez was born Hezron. To Hezron was born Ram, and to Ram Amminadab. And to Amminadab was born Nahshon, and to Nahshon Salmon. And to Salmon was born Boaz, and to Boaz Obed. And to Obed was born Jesse, and to Jesse David. The story doesn't really end there. It goes on to Luke chapter 2, that there was a census that was taken in the days of Caesar Augustus, when Quirinius was governor over Syria. It came about that a man named Joseph went up from the house of David, from Nazareth, to go to Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David. And they went to Bethlehem, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and they laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And the shepherds proclaimed, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The reason that land in Bethlehem still belonged to the family was because Boaz paid so much and loved so much that he took this young Moabite woman, this Gentile Ruth, to be his bride. And their son Obed then was able to keep the land, that little bit of land in Bethlehem, in the family because of Boaz's love and Ruth's devotion to her family. That land remained in the line of Judah that then went to David and stayed in that line for another 1,000 years until the decree came that the people were to go back to their land of their inheritance. And that land was still in the family. And God used Ruth and Boaz way back 1,000 years before to keep that land in the line of Judah so that Jesus would be born, as the prophets would say, "Behold, Bethlehem of Judea, thou art not least among the prophets of Israel, for from thee will come forth one who will govern the people of Israel." God used Boaz and Ruth the foreigner to preserve the land so Jesus, the descendant of David, was born in Bethlehem, all in God's perfect sovereign plan. Wow. Ruth is like us. She was a Gentile. She was a foreigner. She didn't learn about the law of Moses and the coming Messiah as a child. She must have picked up some things from Naomi, her mother-in-law, so that when Naomi was going to go back to Bethlehem, she says, "I want to go with you and take care of you, and I want your God to be my God." So Ruth is a Gentile, a stranger. The Bible says that we Gentiles, before Jesus came, we were without hope. We were without God, aliens in the world. But then at the right time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to be our redeemer. You see, Boaz is like Jesus. He's a Jew. And he is also qualified to be a redeemer. There were three things that a man had to have in qualities in order to redeem the land and line of someone in Israel. Number one, that man needed to be in the family. In Deuteronomy 25, it says, if two men are living together as brothers and one dies, the brother who is surviving is to marry the widow of the deceased and to have a child through that widow. And that child then would take on the inheritance, the land, and the line of the deceased brother. Now, when there wasn't brothers, it went to cousins. And that probably is what happened in the time of Boaz and Ruth. The Boaz was a cousin of Elimelech's, but not the closest one, the second closest. But he was a relative, Boaz, in order to be qualified to save the land and the line. Jesus, is he qualified to save us? Is he qualified to save us from perishing in hell because we sin? Oh, yeah, he is. Definitely. Because he became our relative. He, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. It says in Hebrews chapter 2 that he partook of flesh and blood so that he might be a brother of ours, so that his sacrifice would take care of our sin. And his sacrifice, his payment, was not shekels, as Boaz would have paid, a rich man able to do it. But Jesus' payment was his own precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. And we have redemption today through his blood. We have the forgiveness of sins because the ultimate payment was paid from the rich one who became poor for us. He paid his very life because of his love for us. You see, not only did Jesus, like Boaz, be a relative and be rich, like Boaz, he wanted to purchase us. He wanted to give his life for his bride. And today he calls us who know him as his bride, the church. Wow. And the Bible says that he loves us so much that he gave himself for us. And blessed is he who loved us. That's why we're redeemed. Because one, like Boaz, who's a relative, who paid the right price, and who had the resolve to redeem us, has redeemed us. So what do we do? What do we do with this price that's been paid for us, this love that's been shown to us, this one who's left the glories of heaven to take on human frame to be our brethren? What do? We need to be like Ruth. We need to simply take what he's given for us. We need to receive it as Ruth did. It's interesting that Boaz invites Ruth to a meal. In the Bible, we see Jesus sitting down with his apostles and having a meal with them and telling them, do this to remember me. And we think in the book of Revelation where Jesus is knocking to all things of Christians and saying, let me in, that I might sup with you and you with me. God wants us to have an intimate fellowship with our groom, with Jesus. And that is a great picture of the fact that we need, as a bride, to accept the proposal in order to be married to Christ and have eternal life. We need, as the Bible says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Perhaps some of what I've shared, you've already known. That Christ paid the ransom price, the redemption price for you. But like the soldier in the Civil War, you haven't taken the gift. Well, God so loves the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him, we have to do something. We have to accept the proposal. We have to take Christ as our Redeemer, as Ruth did, taking her, him, and having a child. God wants us to welcome and embrace Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In your bulletin, there's a little insert that goes through some of the things I just mentioned, how Boaz and Christ are both Jews, and Ruth and us were Gentiles, how Boaz and Christ are the hosts offering the meal, and Ruth and us, we are the guests. How Boaz and Christ are the qualified redeemers, that Christ is a male relative, he's rich, he has resolve, and that we, like Ruth, are needing deliverance. We're, as humans, facing death. We're unable to save ourselves, and we need to be like Ruth, wanting to be redeemed. Jesus and Boaz are loving redeemers. It's interesting in Ephesians 1, 7 and 8, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. He's our groom. He loves us. But we need to be the willing recipients. Jesus said, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. As Ruth came to Boaz, responding to his overtures, we need to come to Christ, as that man did, kneeling by the bed of a soldier. We need to come to Christ. And when we do, Jesus then, like Boaz, is the husband, and we, like Ruth, are the bride. And he wants to present us one day to his Father, pure and holy before him. So God knew what he was doing when he put together the story of Ruth and orchestrated the events, because he knew that that would be a type, a picture of the relationship that one day we as Christians would have with Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Ruth. In fact, one of the incredible things that I don't want to leave our study in Ruth without saying is that in the genealogy that Matthew writes of Jesus, he basically has all the men and who their sons were. But there's four women named, and one of those women is Ruth, to show that Jesus' own blood had Gentile blood in it, and he paid that blood for us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this story. Thank you, God, that all we have to do is be like Ruth and say, yes, I want Jesus to be my Redeemer. And in doing that, we have eternal life. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As our worship team